Sheila, who is your special guest this morning?
Well, Alan, our guest, as we said, is Stephanie Cadel Terrez. She owns Timepieces, Personal Biographies, and she helps people write their life stories. Thanks for being on the show again with us, Stephanie.
I'm glad to be back.
So, Stephanie, how did you get interested in helping people with their biographies?
I got into this work about 15 years ago when I had finished graduate school and I had learned how to do interviewing and I had been a professional writer, but I wanted to do a project of my own design instead of what everyone else had been assigning me for so long as a student. So I wrote my grandma a letter, and this was my father's mother, and she lived in Florida and I lived in Michigan, and I said, you know, could I come down and interview you about your life? And the first thing she said was, well, I don't know what you want to know. And I was like, well, I want to know about the family and my ancestors and how, you know, you grew up as a child and all of that. So she said, sure. And we spent 3 days in her home by ourselves, which was unusual in itself because I'd only really been with my grandmother on holidays, you know, where the whole family was there. And I recorded our interviews where I talked with her about everything she was willing to tell me about her life and her marriage and her work. My grandfather was a minister, so of course my grandmother had a lot of responsibility as well. And I came home and I typed it up and I turned it into a book, put some pictures in it and gave it to my family. And I just saw all the benefits that that had for me as a grandchild to understand more about where I came from and, you know, why I valued the things I did, because I had a better sense of how those values had been passed along. And then all my family members read it.
But they loved it.
They loved it. And they called my grandma and wanted to talk to her about it. And, you know, so I just really felt like this was a way that I could use my skills as an interviewer and a writer to help older people process and recognize the values of their life. I'm really interested in what you were reading from the news of the week, because so much of that about feeling content mm-hmm. about your life and feeling that your life is meaningful, that comes through the process of doing life review and putting your story down on paper. And then, of course, the benefits to the other family members are so obvious. So that's, you know, what made me realize, hey, maybe I could make a career out of this. And I've been doing it on my own for about 10 years now.
So what do you like best about what you do?
Oh, well, so many things. But I would have to say, in truth, I sort of fall in love with all of my clients. You know, I get to know them so well, and I spend so much time looking at their faces as they talk with me. And I really love that I get to know so much of their history and what matters to them. And I learn from them about, you know, what they've learned from life. And then I get to see the effect that when they see their book, you know, and see all of that mm-hmm. on paper with photographs, you know, and realize that, hey, you know, I really have had a good life. You know, when I hear that from them, then that's the best part.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. Right in the beginning, you said it sounded like your grandmother didn't think she had anything to talk about, but yet she had 3 days and a whole book worth of great stuff.
That's right. And, you know, part of that, I think, is because of her generation and being a woman, I think her first reaction was sort of, well, it was your grandfather that, you know, had that big career and had all that attention. And he was the one that people wrote newspaper articles and stuff about, you know?
I was just a homemaker.
Yes, right, of course. And many women of that generation, I think, have that initial reaction. Well, what am I going to tell you about raising the kids, you know? But actually, those can be some of the, you know, funniest stories that I hear from people.
Stephanie, how do people find you? How do they find out about your service and what you do?
Well, I do a lot to get out in the community and spread the word about the value of saving your family's history. So, you know, I give a lot of talks. I actually talked at Kiwanis of a couple of years ago. Thank you, Anne.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you there.
And I have a website, which is timepiecesbios, that's bios.com. And I teach workshops on life story writing. And I just, you know, try to make sure to get out and let people know, you know, why this would be something that either they would want to do or that they would want to have their parents or their grandparents do, depending on the age of the person I'm speaking with.
Our guest is Stephanie Cadel Terrez, and this is Everything Elderly on 1290 WLBY. Stephanie, what types of information when you're interviewing someone do you ask them for?
Well, in some ways, the interview is definitely chronological. You know, we begin with their childhood and certainly what they remember about their ancestors, their grandparents and parents. And especially, you know, we focus a lot on those early years because life has changed so much. And we figure, you know, when their grandchildren or great-grandchildren read about farming in the early 20th century or the World War II or whatever, you know, so we give a lot of attention to that early time. And then we, you know, just continue through the cycle of their life, their how they met their spouse, and we get those romance stories and, you know, and then whether they did fight in a war or serve in the military, what kind of career they had and raise their family. And then we do a lot of reflective questions, you know, about things like how they learn to manage their time and manage their money and make their marriage last a long time if they did, and, you know, things that we think might be useful for the next generations to hear from them about how they figured out what matters in life mm-hmm. and how to, you know, work toward the most important things.
So some advice for their kids and whoever yeah. else might be reading.
Yeah, you know, we try to make sure that it's not going to be preachy or anything, you know, just to make sure that we're passing along the best wisdom. Because that's, I think, one of the things is we tend to definitely recognize the value of doing a will and passing on your belongings and your inheritance if you have that, but we should be passing on that wisdom. I mean, that's really one of the greatest values you develop over a lifetime. And I don't want people to, you know, get away from us without having had the chance to share that as well.
That's a great point. Stephanie, what is the difference between what you're doing, though, in a family tree that maybe a genealogist does?
That's a good question, Alan, because I don't really do a lot of research on the kind of names and dates that go back generations. I'm really focusing on the living history of a person who is still alive to tell their own story. So it's more of a narrative. It has chapters and subheadings and a lot of words and doesn't really have a lot of charts and graphs and maps and those kinds of things that we tend to gather when we're doing genealogical research.
What do your families like most about the interview?
I think that the older person participating in the interview, I think, really appreciates the opportunity to share things that maybe they've never really taken the time to share with their own kids and grandkids. And it's really just because of the nature of our lives. You know, we live far apart from each other now. We might only get together at special occasions. And then it's all about the wedding or it's all about the meal. And there really isn't a chance to do this kind of more thoughtful passing on of the stories. You know, we've kind of lost that oral tradition. And it's, you know, obvious that when you get sort of the end of your life, you tend to want to share some of what you remember. And, you know, your grandkids might just be too busy with their video games or whatever to care to listen. So I think they really appreciate that somebody wants to listen. But I do allow and encourage, if it's okay with the person I'm interviewing, the next generation to sit in on the interview so that they can hear those stories. And it's not just me, this outsider, getting that, you know, quality gold information.
They're getting them
from
right them. From the source.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, I write it into a book, and then everyone in the family gets to share in that.
Stephanie, how long are the books that you develop, and how much time do you spend with each family or each person?
Thanks, Anne, for asking. The books tend to be around 100 to 120 pages when they're finished. They're hardbound, so they'll last for generations, and usually we have color photographs in them, and we collect photos from all through the time period in their of their life so that we can kind of fit them in each of the chapters. So it's a pretty nice, you know, finished kind of heirloom piece for the family. And then your second question
How long do you spend with somebody?
The interviews themselves are usually about 8 to 10 hours, and we wouldn't do more than 2 hours at a time, of course. So it's usually 4 or 5 visits, maybe takes about a month to complete the interviews. And then the whole project takes close to a year to get through all the stages of the process.
This is Everything Elderly on 1290 WLBY. Our guest is Stephanie Cadle Terras, owner of Timepieces Personal Biographies.
Stephanie, what things do your families like to see included the most? What do they most enjoy in the book?
Well, it really depends on why someone has come to me for a project. And we spend a good deal of time at the start without the recorder going, talking about what their intentions are for the project and what they would like to get out of it, what they'd like to pass along. So, for example, I'm just finishing up a project with a woman who sought me out because she was a recent widow and had also recently lost her mother, who had been very long-lived. And she was feeling a lot of stress in her own new life and responsibilities on her own. But she was also reflecting a lot about how not having a mother and not having a husband was kind of making her realize how much she had kind of let them decide how she lived her life, which, as we were saying before, was not that unusual for her generation. And so it wasn't at all like a vindictive piece, but it was her chance to sort of say to her children, hey, here's me as a person and not just as your mother or somebody's wife, you know. And when we were done, she said, I really did have a good life. So that was, you know, one thing that you know, a client was looking for from the project. And I think she's been very satisfied with those results.
What's the finished product? I mean, you said it was a book. Is there anything else that comes with it?
I do also have the audio CDs from our interviews. I don't do audio editing, so it's just the raw sounds of everything that happened during our interview. But usually it includes, of course, their laughter, sometimes a little singing, often a little crying. So it's very emotional, powerful, you know, opportunity to hear it. And I make sure that that all gets passed along. So even if the family doesn't listen to it for years, it's there and they've got it, you know, for the long term. So it's pretty much that package of a book and the CDs.
And I'm guessing that sometimes they don't listen to it for years, but maybe it's the great, great grandchildren that have.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been around long enough, but one would hope so, yeah.
But it's neat. You can think about 20, 30 years from now, you can hear what your great, great grandmother sounded like.
That's right. I did have a client who was playing the audio in the car when her little kids were in the back seat, and it was of her father. And she said, the little boy said, Mom, why don't you tell Grandpa to be quiet so I can ask him a question?
That's classic.
So what does something like this cost, Stephanie?
It really ranges depending on what you want to accomplish. But for the book that I described to Anne with the sort of 120 pages that takes about 10 hours of interviewing and about a year to process, it costs $15,000. So it's not a small investment, but mm-hmm. it is an investment in your family's history. And that does result in a finished design book ready to print.
If someone wanted to cut down on the cost, are there ways that families can help you get information?
Absolutely. And we can do a smaller piece. You know, we can just choose to do their childhood or their romance story. So we can do like just a 2-hour interview and make it a smaller, less elaborate book. And that, you know, makes a considerably more affordable project.
But still capture a lot of who they are and who they were.
Yeah, that would be my hope. Yes.
Do you do presentations in the community? You mentioned the Kiwanis Club. Do you go to other events?
Yes. And more often I tend to teach workshops that might be like a 4-part workshop on, you know, the strategies for writing your story. So this might be people who would be more inclined to write it themselves than to be interviewed, so that I am out there making sure that people have a lot of different possible avenues for saving their family's stories.
Coaching and teaching, kind of.
Yeah, and usually I do it at a location or an organization that invites me. So I'm not just offering one out there where I can just say anyone can come and sign up. So if you are in an organization that would like a class, please get in touch.
And how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, well, perfect. Thank you, Sheila. So my phone number is 734-663-0875, or you can contact me through my website, which is Time Pieces, that's TimePieces, bios, that's biographies, bios.com.
Thanks so much for joining us on the show again, Stephanie. It's been really great talking with you this morning.
Thank you for having me.